Morning. This morning, I think my kids could tell I was kind of nervous. So Jordan says, "Don't worry, Dad, you're going to do great, but you might want to recap at the end just in case they fall asleep." So thanks for the faith. Let's go ahead and pray, guys, and we'll get started. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to spend time together, to spend time with you. Lord, I know that there's nothing that I can say that will make a lasting difference apart from your Spirit, Lord. I pray that you would work in all of us to help set aside the busyness of the weekend, maybe the anticipation of the busyness of the week to come. Lord, give us some time to just be quiet in your presence. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in our lives and help us to grow closer to each other, but more importantly to you, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, if you would, please turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Those of you that know me know that I was going to go to the book of Hebrews. It's my favorite book in the Bible. I can relate, I think, probably to where these people were at, in that many of them were raised religious. I was baptized twice before I was a Christian. So I went to Christian school. I did all of those things, and I didn't know the Lord better than somebody that never heard anything. I mean, my spirit was as dead as could be. I think that sometimes we can be surrounded by all of the Christian things and not know the Lord. And I think that he's explaining a lot of things to these people that I need to hear a lot. And I think that I can make or fall into some of the same pitfalls that they do all the time. For me, and maybe it is for you too, my default setting a lot of times is to be religious. It's easy for me to want to turn off towards, you know, that intimacy with the Lord and to just be content with going to church, praying, and not doing anything really, really bad. It's easy for me to just be a moral American. And, I mean, we're Republicans and we're Texans and all those kinds of things, right? So, I mean, how bad could it be? And it's possible for me to go through a lot of my life and to realize that it's been a long time since I really felt like I interacted with the Lord. I've been around a lot of things. I can pray. I can do all those things. And yet my heart can be closed sometimes. And I think that they fall into that boat too. It's interesting because if you look in Hebrews 5, starting in verse 12, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, and of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment." If you guys look at there, what it's saying is elementary, what's milk, what's basic principles. It covers 99% of what we hear about typically in church, what Christian books are written about, or what our Christian experience is. It's getting saved, it's the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, and it's going to heaven and end times. Basically, beginning, middle, and end. Right? It covers all those things, and yet he says, hey, these are basic. This is the beginning. This is chapter one. This is the first quarter. This is where it starts. This is not the end of the story. I don't know about you guys, but for me, I knew I needed to get saved. You know, you didn't have to convince me that I needed the Lord. And when I got saved, I just was so anxious to prove that I was worth saving that I got so busy doing so many things. And it wasn't long before I was tired and when I was frustrated and I realized that I'm doing all of the right things, but I can tell you right now, in my heart, I'm not that different. I still want to do these things in my heart that I'm not doing. So I may not outwardly be looking like, you know, whatever we think a sinner should look like, but I know in my heart what I am. And the activity wasn't necessarily resulting in maturity. Does that make any sense? Anybody relate to that at all? I know you can't. All of these things that people can spend time on all of the knowledge, all of the work, all of these things can be a very deceptive replacement, I think, for what we truly have been given. And he's going to spend a lot of time from this point on going through the book of Hebrews and explaining exactly to these people that there's so much more. There is so much more there for you guys than just, and I don't want to say just because it sounds like I'm being trite, but he didn't just come to die for your sins. He died for your sins so that you could live with him. It's the beginning. It's a purpose, okay? It's like, I didn't just propose to my wife because I felt like it was something I should do. I proposed to my wife so that we could get married, so that I could live my life with my wife. In the same way, he saved us to open up the door for us to live in communion with him. He opened up the way for the new covenant. And he has a heavenly ministry. I mean, think about that for a second. If we really want to think about it, if he just wanted to die for our sins, he could have shown up on Friday, he could have died, he could have left 3 days later, and mission accomplished. I died for your sins. But he was here for 30 years before that. Why? Why did he have to have a family? Why did he have to have brothers and sisters? Why did he have to have parents and people that didn't believe in him? Why did he have to have all these experiences? Why did he have to do that? Just so he could be a man? Just so he could grow up and be a man? I think there's a lot more to it. And I think the book of Hebrews tells us that. I think when we look at what his heavenly ministry is, we start to realize that everything that happened in his life happened for a reason. And more than that, everything that happens in your life happens for a reason. It's not just random. The Old Testament is full of holy people, holy times, holy things. We start to see that it's not that way in the New Testament. Everything is holy. Everything in every place and every time is an opportunity for us to interact with the Lord. I think that if you were to boil down kind of what this heavenly ministry is and what he's doing in heaven, I think it's about access. I think it's about relationship. I think it's about help. I think those three things. In my mind, and I don't know if I would necessarily just come out and say it, but I think in my mind, I got saved and I knew that God loved me, that he died for the whole world, and that someday I was going to get to be with him. And that in the meantime, I should act a certain way, and that I could ask him for help. And I knew that God could help, but I didn't know if God would help. Does that make sense? I know that God loves the world. I know God loves everyone. But I guess I needed to have a little bit more intimacy myself. I needed to know that this isn't just a broad thing that I happen to be included in. That this is me and him. Okay? That this is personal. I needed to know that. We talk about having a personal relationship with Jesus, but if I'm really honest, a lot of times it doesn't feel like that. A lot of times it feels like I'm one of the group. And I need that. There's times that I need that. I think that it's easy for me to understand that Jesus is an advocate for us, right? He died, went and sat at the right hand of God, and I understand that he's there, but I want to understand more of what he's doing now. And I think that it will bless you to think about those things and to live that, because it's helping me. It's making everything seem more important, and it's making verses like pray without ceasing a little bit more attainable. Because how do I do that? I have to work. I have things to do. I can't just sit around praying all the time. And I start to realize that there's not an on-off switch, that everything that I'm doing is relating to him and understanding, and things that I don't understand will make sense later. I think if you guys flip over to Hebrews 2 real quick. It says in verse 17, it says, therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. We'll get to verse 18 in a minute. But in verse 17, it's a fancy way of saying that all those times that he was living life, that it wasn't so-called ministry, that there wasn't some recognizable spiritual reason for what he was going through, there was still a reason. He knew what it was like to have difficult family members. So that when you go to Thanksgiving and you're with difficult family members, instead of just saying, God, help these people, you can relate to him. Guys, we're talking about Mission YouTube. We're talking about these different kinds of things. We understand that when you can relate to people, that's when real ministry starts to happen. We understand that on a physical level here, right? That the more that we can relate to each other, then we can really start to minister to each other. But I think it's important for us to understand as well that the same thing happens with Jesus. He doesn't want to just put a list of things on the wall, please act this way. He wants to relate to you as well. He wants you to be able to come to him instead of saying, you know what, I'm dealing with someone that's really difficult right now. Fix them. You can come to him and you can ask that. But before you get to that, you can say, you know what, you know what it's like. You know what it's like to deal with difficult people. You feel left out. Jesus knows what that's like. You're struggling financially. He knows what that's like. Someone close to you passes away. He knows what that's like. It makes a big difference. You know, my grandmother passed away, and it's hard. It's hard still. You know, people that you love leave, and it's hard. And people tell you things, and it doesn't make it better. You know, and it makes a difference to know that when Jesus was confronted with that, when a friend died, he didn't have a whole lot to say. He just cried. It's nice to know that he understands. His ability to relate to us, and the reason he was here for all that time, was to find common ground for your everyday experiences as well. So that during the week, you don't have to wait till Sunday to interact with God. As you're going through hard things, when you're stressed, when you're worried, when you're scared, he knows what that's like. Like I said, I know we recognize the value of that in relating to each other, but I think it's so important when we realize that it's not just something that I need to get through right now. It's not just a struggle that I can't wait to get through and maybe God will help me. Maybe he wants to talk to me through that. Maybe the end result isn't necessarily the direction I'm looking for. Maybe it's not overcoming this obstacle. Maybe what he wants more than anything is just some time. Maybe he wants me to know him through this. And that's hard. I think if we understand that first part of his heavenly ministry, that access, is that he is there as our high priest to make sure that we continually have access to him all the time on the basis of grace. That's what the new covenant is. It's that 100% of the time, no matter what, you can come to the Lord and he's working in your life. He's available, constantly available there. And not just there to say, yeah, you're in, but I want you here. You're here. I want you here. Maintaining that access for us. The second part of that, I think, of that ministry, the relationship side, that's what he is. He is a faithful high priest. He's a mediator. He is there. He's been on your side, but he also knows what you need. He knows what you need during those times. So he can relate to you. He can pray for you, which blows my mind. He cares 24/7. At your best, guys, or maybe I should say your worst, you can only worry so many hours a day. You're going to fall asleep. You're going to get distracted. You're going to have other things. He's thinking about you 24/7. Whatever it is that's keeping you up at night, he's thinking about it more than you are. Whatever it is that stresses you out, whatever it is right now that you're struggling with, he's more aware of it than you are. And he knows what it's like. And he knows what you need. And he wants to be there in the middle of that and help you. It's been a very freeing thing to not only know that I can relate to God, but that he wants to work in my situation. Because like I said, a lot of times, guys, especially as a man, you feel like, I mean, I've got 5 people at home that depend on me. You know what I mean? I feel that burden that I want to take care of them, and I want to have questions, I want to have answers for their questions, and I want to make sure that I take care of them. And a lot of times, I feel like I'm in over my head. I feel like, oh, this is exhausting. You know, I don't feel up to the task a lot, and it's very freeing to know that he knows what they need more than I do. He knows every part of them, and he's completely up to the task, and he can take care of it. I have a lot of things on my mind right now, a lot of things I'm stressed about right now. And you know what? My encouragement to myself, if that makes any sense, is I want to know the Lord through those things. I want to find him in the middle of those things, not just get through them. I want to find him in those things, and I want to be, I want to rest. I want to relax. I want to have that ability to just exhale a little bit, because he's a big, big God, and I think that we can confine him so many times. And when we start to see that He's not as far away as we think sometimes, that he is close, that he is involved in our lives, that he is doing something right now. He's not just up in the clouds with all the angels and the harps just waiting for you to show up. That there is an active heavenly ministry there. He is doing something. That dying on the cross finished paying for your sins, but it didn't finish his work in the sense that he was done with you until you show up again. He's active in your life, even when we're not thinking about it. Okay? The aspect of helping is particularly soothing for me because I need a lot of help. If you guys turn to Hebrews 7, please. Verse 25, it says, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Then over in chapter 8, verse 6, it says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. The message of the Old Testament, guys, the message of the law is, this is the standard, make it happen. Okay? The new covenant is all about God working in us and through us, okay? It's better. It's complete. And he's able to help us by grace. I know that sounds like Christian speak, right? He's able to help us by grace and those kinds of things. We use those words all the time, and I want to make sure you understand what it is I'm saying. That means when you're not worthy, when you've screwed up, and you feel like you shouldn't ask for something, he's still willing to help, okay? His desire to work in your life has nothing to do with how Christian you are. Okay? You're never going to be good enough to warrant God working in your life, even as a Christian. Okay? Everything we do is stained with self, isn't it? If you really boil it down, there's always a part of us that thinks about ourselves. Always. Everything he does in our life is because he's good, not because we are. Okay? And he's there to help us in every way that we need, because he's good, okay? Go back to Hebrews 4. We read 15 earlier, but we'll start in chapter 4, verse 15. It says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is what we've been saying all the way through here. He knows what it's like to be one of us. He knows the struggles that we have with each other. He knows the struggles that we have every day. He has been here. He's lived it, guys. And he can sympathize with our weaknesses. But the part that I like the best is that he doesn't just leave it there. I mean, isn't that a little bit frustrating? I mean, let's be honest. Isn't it a little bit frustrating when you talk to somebody and you're pouring out your heart about something you really have a hard time with, and they go, I really sympathize for you. And then they leave. And that's the end of it. That's great, but I'd really like some help. It'd be really nice to get beyond this, or, you know what I'm saying? You'd really like to have some help. And he doesn't just leave it there. He says, I know what it's like to be you. I know what it's like to struggle. I know what it's like. Okay? I know how hard it is. And he doesn't just leave it there. So he says, so therefore, come boldly. Come rushing in. Come get the grace. Come get the help that you need. It's there. So you guys fill in the blank. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is that's swallowing you up today. I don't know what discourages you. I don't know what you are insecure about. I don't know what you're scared about. I don't know what you're hurt about. And I don't need to. He does. He knows all of those things. And he has the grace to fill in that need, whatever it is. I'm hoping that this is a reminder basically to encourage you on how much you're wanted and to give you boldness to enter in. That's really the message of Hebrews, isn't it? Is that I died and there's all of this waiting for you. So come get it. Come in. Come experience it. I think we can celebrate so many times they died for our sins, and then we spend the rest of our Christian life struggling, trying to do these things, when really he wants us to rest. Hebrews talks about this whole chapter, talk about entering into his rest. He wants us to rest. He wants us to know that he is everything that we need, that he's working in our lives, That he's keeping that access open, that everything he's doing is about relationship, relating to each other, relating to him. That's what it's all about. And that in the midst of all of that, he doesn't just stop and say, I know what it's like, and leave you there, but he helps. He can help us with all of the things that we need. So when we're struggling financially or when we're hurt, and there's hurts, guys, that hurt. It doesn't do any good to talk to people. You know what I mean? It's a hurt right here that just, you don't even know how to talk about it. He knows what that's like. Go through and listen to him talk. And he'll talk about the nation of Israel as a father and talks about his kids that have gone astray. You hear the heartbreak in his voice. You hear that this isn't just a guy that is frustrated that people aren't going along with his program. He aches worse than we do. When we have those feelings, those worries, those stress, he knows. But he wants to help, constantly wants to help. Something that's interesting, if you go to Hebrews again in chapter 2, we touched on this earlier, and I told you I'd come back to it. In verse 18, he's talking about having to be made like us so that he can show us mercy, so he can be faithful, so he knows what it's like to be us. And in verse 18, it says, "For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to aid those who are tempted." Am I the only person here that ever gets tempted or struggles with temptation? Probably not. I don't know what you guys are tempted with. But I know that there's some of you here that say, yeah, I understand, but he never struggled with this. Temptation is a general sense. He struggled with temptation once so that he could say he was tempted, and then he moved on. He surely doesn't have sympathy or compassion for the things that I'm struggling with right now. I tend to take him at his word. I don't know how it all worked out, guys. We could have a three-week study just on that, okay? But I do know that he tells us that he not only was tempted, but that he's able to aid those who are tempted. Sometimes I think we can feel ashamed of the things we're tempted with. I think we can feel alone when we're tempted. And I feel like sometimes we feel like we can't talk to each other about those things. And sometimes my only conversation with the Lord about that is, forgive me again for such and such, right? He knows what it is that you're going to need to have victory in that area of your life. He knows what you need to overcome that temptation. I don't. You can talk to me all day long about what it is you're struggling with, and I may have a practical answer for you, and I probably won't. But he knows what it is you're struggling with. And he knows, more importantly, how to aid you through that so that you can have victory and you can go back to that. I think if you were to draw it on the board, you know, the circle for us would oftentimes be you receive the forgiveness, you try as hard as you can, you fail. Receive forgiveness, you try as hard as you can, you fail. The circle going around and around. Whereas I think what he's really wanting for us is to understand that there is forgiveness. We can access that grace and have relationship with him. We go through that temptation, experience victory, right? And we go right back to access and experiencing grace and going through. And instead, we're on the wrong track. If you go to Hebrews 9, if you guys have time. And this is the frustrating thing. You only have a few minutes, right? So we talk about these kinds of things. Just please, please read Hebrews. You go through 7. You go through chapter 8. You get into chapter 9. He's talking about this heavenly ministry. You're talking about this high priest. You're talking about these different kinds of things. Chapter 8, he goes into the new covenant, talking about the difference between how we used to relate to God externally and how he's working now internally. You go through all these kinds of things. And in chapter 9, starting in verse 13, it says, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Guys, you look at Psalm 51, 2, right? He talks about cleansing me thoroughly from my sin. You talk about 1 John 1, 9. Right? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us, but also to cleanse us, right? You look at these things. He doesn't want to just cleanse us. He doesn't want to just, or I'm sorry, he doesn't just want to forgive us. He doesn't want to just help us. He wants to cleanse us completely. He wants to completely wash that away. That ministry that he's working on right now, as we're sitting here talking about what he's doing, is designed to cleanse your conscience as well. So when we do fail, we don't just ask for forgiveness and double our efforts next time. Right? We cry out to him. We admit our weakness. We anticipate the grace that he's going to give us to help us get through those things. He offers the aid that we need to get through whatever circumstance there might be. When we screw up, he's going to cleanse our conscience from that. But it's all designed to give us opportunities to interact with him. And that's what I want you guys to really understand. As much as you want him, he wants you more. And for every step you take towards him, he's taken 100 towards you. He has done everything to make sure that you guys feel wanted, to make sure that the access can be maintained and stay open, and that you can have the help that you need, whatever that is, when you need it. He wants to be so much more than a one-time savior. And I please, don't take that the wrong way. I'm not making light of that. Please, I want to make sure you understand that. He is the only one that could have saved us from our sins. I'm not making light of that. But what I'm saying is that he wants to be our savior today as well and tomorrow. He wants to continually work in our life. He wants to be everything to us. And that access is there. Guys, we could spend forever going through and looking at just what has been opened up to us as Christians. There is so much there. And I did a very scattered, weak job of telling you, look at this as like an appetizer, okay? It's just there to make you hungry for more. There's no way that I could begin to describe how much is there for you. And for me, it's there. I play a game with my daughter sometimes when I tuck her in, and it's called I Am Abby, right? So I'll lay her down, and I'll give her a kiss and tuck her in, that kind of thing, and I'll start it and I'll say, I am Abby, and she has to fill in the blanks. We've discussed these, so she knows what to fill them in with, right? But I'll say, I am Abby, and she'll say, I'm pretty, and I'm kind, and I'm special, and I'm creative, and I'm thoughtful, and all these things. And the last one is always that I am wanted. And it's important for her to know how I see her, and how much I want her, and how special she is, that she's not just somebody that showed up. I wanted her. I think the same thing could be said of each and every one of you guys, that he wants to speak those things into your life daily. So as you're struggling, he'll remind you, not just that, hey, someday this too will pass, and someday you'll be in heaven. No. You're special. And whatever you're going through, it's there for a reason. And I want to know you in the midst of that. And you're special to me. And he wants you to know how invaluable you are and how important you are. And I think he wants you to know how important he is. But life, these are opportunities for us to meet him and hear those things. My tendency is to try to get through them as quickly as possible. If something is hard, I want it to stop now. And I really don't care what he's trying to teach me. I'd rather read about it in a book when I'm comfortable. I used to do that when I became a Christian. I wanted to learn about whatever, and so I worked at a bookstore. And so you want to learn about overcoming temptation? Great, I'll go buy a book about that. You want to go learn any of these things you want to do? And so I had all these books. Some of them I even read. And you had this whole bookshelf of all these things that you wanted to have worked in your life. But the minute that something happened in your life that was hard, oh, Lord, take this away. Take this away. Take this. I could not wait for it to be over. Anything hard, I wanted it to stop. And I still do. That hasn't changed. I still want these things to stop. But I'm hoping that he'll continue to work in me to where knowing him is more important than my own comfort. Right now, it's pretty high on my list. I hope that you guys are encouraged in how much you're wanted, but I hope you're encouraged in how much is waiting for you and how much is there. and that you'll just cry out to the Lord and just say, Lord, help me know you more through this. Whatever I'm going through right now, I want to know you in this. I want it to not just be something that I write back and say, yeah, that was a hard time in my life, but that I grew closer to the Lord in the middle of that. Like I said, I recognize that in areas of my personal life and relating to you and to my kids, and I like to be able to tell other people that I've gone through that very same thing. But the Lord wants to say that to me too. He's gone through it. He knows. He knows. I encourage you guys to take some time this week as you start your week. When you're praying, let's not just thank the Lord and jump right into the request, but let's talk to him as well. And we can say something along the lines of, I'm kind of like explaining this to you in a real practical way, but something along the lines of, Lord, this person's driving me crazy. I'm having a hard time with this. But you know what it's like to be around difficult people. Help me. Give me your spirit to be able to be gentle with this person. And we can begin to include in our time with him opportunities or a request to know him, not just to ask him to fix things. Does that make sense? Am I explaining that okay? It's like we have a list sometimes of all the things in life that are standing between us being completely comfortable and where we're at. And as soon as you could get to these 12 things, Lord, I'd really appreciate it. He wants to know you. More than anything, he wants to know you. You know, he has angels to work for him. And there's nothing wrong with Christian service. But you weren't saved just to work for him. You were saved to know him. You're his kids. My kids do a lot of work around the house. We didn't have them because we needed labor. I wanted a family. I love being with them. In the same way, there's nothing that you can do that means more to him than you. He could do it himself. He doesn't need us for anything. You're what's important to him. And I hope you also remember that he is an ever-present help for us, guys. Whatever we're struggling with. I have very few answers. Reg is awesome. He has a lot more than I do. And yet, he doesn't have nearly as many answers as the Lord does. And everything that we can get from each other, from any person, can be given to us so much more completely from the Lord. We need the Lord. So I encourage you guys to look at life as an opportunity to interact with each other, to relate to each other, more importantly, as an opportunity to relate to him, and to charge in. Not many people took advantage of the promised land, right? Not many people want to go in. But I think there's a lot there for us. And I think that life is the opportunity for us to see everything that he talks about here. Okay? Let's go ahead and pray, guys. Lord, you're the only one that can fully meet every need that we have. You're the only one that can encourage us in our spirit, that can make sense of the things that are in the Bible, the things that I said, the things that we say to each other. Lord, you're the only one that can speak to our spirits. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us this week. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see just how much you love us and that everything that's happening in our life is happening for a reason. And Lord, that you are more than capable and more than willing to work in those situations in our life. Lord, I pray just as you ask us to come boldly to the throne, Lord, I pray that we would and that we'll meet you there. Because I know, Lord, that you desire to work in our life. We love you. I pray you would help us to love you more. Help us to love each other more. Help us to show each other the same grace that you show us. And I pray that we could encourage each other as we go through these things in life to find you in whatever it is that we're going through. Because, Lord, I know that you want more of us. And we want more of you. So help us overcome the things that we're struggling with. Fill us with your spirit and go with us this week, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.